Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening from the boardwalk in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. You can hear the action right there.
Comic-Con sure
Stars
can.
On the Thursday before Steampunk Mid-Atlantic number 2. It's exciting down here being with Carolina Caricatures in Flower Park and on the boardwalk and at the Boardwalk Bonanza. So you can find us at all three locations. It's wild and crazy down here. Beautiful night, wind blowing, and we've got a biggie coming up this weekend in Raleigh, North Carolina at the Ramada Inn on July the 21st and 22nd, none other than Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. It's going to be a blast. Tonight we've got a couple of the folks who are going to be there, and we're going to have a great time being all steampunked out. We've got Stephen Chapman and Alex Baker with us. First of all, I want to say hello to Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. How are you doing, sir?
Wonderful. How is everyone tonight?
Pretty good. Pretty good. We're glad to have you here. Looking forward to having you at Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. You'll be coming in tomorrow. We'll be hanging out. And then Saturday and Sunday, it's going to be a lot of fun. So, whatever. Just great. Anyway.
Oh, whatever. Come on, man. Are you kidding?
No,
wow.
I'm sorry. I just, no,
wow,
I just got a mess. I'm running
whatever.
Everything off my phone, and I just got a message. So anyway, and I looked at it and took my eye off the ball there for a minute. But anyway, it's great. It's going to be a lot of fun now.
I feel the love.
I know. Dave Atwell is AWOL for the moment. Todd, how are you doing tonight?
I am outstanding, supernatural, and happy to be here, gentlemen. Happy to be here.
Really, really? Wow, that's...
Don't say whatever to Todd, please. Please don't
say whatever to anybody. I'm just so glad.
Thank you.
I'm just so glad. I'm just so glad everyone is here. And
thanks for having my back, brother.
Stephen Chapman, how are you doing tonight?
Anytime, man. Anytime. Don't...
I'm just peachy, John. It's thanks for including me in this little shindig. I've got all my my props all charged up and packed, and really looking forward to heading down to Raleigh.
And don't forget, John, Stephen.
That's right, Stephen Chapman.
That, like
that's
saying
right.
WNBC. WNBC.
Alex Baker, you with us?
I'm learning.
Is that Alex Baker from area code 573? I guess it
hold
is
on,
not,
phone
so.
Was acting up. I'm here.
Oh, there,
Alex,
there you are.
Yes, Alex. Yes.
Yeah, my phone did an update, so it's been very sketchy with how it handles calls with the new Android update. So.
I've got. Yep. That's exactly right, and. I've got an impending update coming in about 11 minutes and 30 seconds. It looks like my phone's going to restart, so we may have to do a quick off again on again here. So
if you hear whatever, it's the update, guys. If you hear whatever,
yeah,
it's the update.
This is definitely the update thing. So anyway, Stephen, talk to us a little bit. You are a premier maker in the steampunk world, and you also run Splendid Teapot Racing. You are one of the administrators of that site on Facebook, and you also put together the obstacles and get people going along and everything. So tell us a little bit about what you do in the steampunk world, what you've done, and we'll move on from there.
Okay. Well, when Splendid Teapot Racing hit North America, when Dave Lee essentially brought it back from New Zealand, and it went viral, and I started up a Facebook page, Splendid Teapot Racing USA, and kind of tried to make it a clearinghouse for all information regarding Splendid Teapot Racing in North America and a little bit of the world. And so it's been quite successful. It's got quite a few members, and it kind of branched out from there. A lot of states and locations came up with their own little Facebook pages, but we try to get everyone to at least make some posts back to the USA page so that we can share more, you know, across this great country.
That's
wow, that's
how long?
That's cool.
How long have you been doing that with the racing?
Well, Splendid Teapot Racing is—it's only about 4 years old now.
Okay.
It was started down in New Zealand. There was a Simone Montgomery down there who had a friend who was handicapped, and their particular brand of steampunk has a lot of little competitions, and she wanted a competition that her handicapped friend could also participate in. And so the Splendid Teapot Racing, all you have to be able to do is hold a remote and operate that. So it was perfect. And then it just kind of went wild from there.
It's really awesome.
It is. We did it last year. It was a lot of fun. It really was. And I think people are going to enjoy it. I know that Brett King is going to be bringing his teapot. We may have a few surprises. And Stephen, when was the last time you held a Splendid Teapot Race?
The last one that I was actually involved in would have been, in March, at the Wild Wild West Con in Tucson.
Gotcha. And where is Wild Wild West Con held?
It's actually held in a movie studio, a Wild West movie studio, where a lot of the John Wayne movies were filmed. It's called Old Tucson, just outside of Tucson, Arizona.
If Stephen would have said the West, I would have so popped. That's great. It's held in the West. Wonderful.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, anyway, that's really cool.
Yeah, the really cool thing about Splendid Teapot Racing is anyone can get involved. There was one competition that started up in the steampunk world. It was airship races. But the logistics and the teamwork and the expense it's kind of excluded a lot of people. But anybody can take an RC car and strip off the body and mount a teapot and build their own racer and come out and compete. And it's all about the spectacle. It's about the creativity. I've been to places where I had the fastest racer by over a full minute, but yet I only finished fourth because the guy who finished first, his racer was an absolute work of art. They couldn't finish the course, but it was a work of art. And I totally support the judge's decision in that.
I got a question on that. It sounds like it's grown a bit since it hit here. You're talking about going, you know, you're effectively going to hold an event here on the East Coast. Then you're talking, you know, you just did one in Tucson, you know, 3 or 4 months back. Now, has it gotten so big that you have to have, like, classes of teapots, if you will? Like, you know, from, you know, we've got, you know, your sedan version to your, you know, your Mini Cooper version or whatever's going on there.
I used to autocross in the FCCA Solo 2 competition, and that's, dozens of different classes. But in teapot racing, no. It's since it's all about the spectacle and the vehicles are judged not only on their speed in finishing the course and their success in finishing the course, but there are the style and the creativity shown in building the racer. And also, there's even a category called that count gives negative points called vexing the judges. If you do something that upsets the judges, it takes away points from your racer.
Great.
I love it. It's one of the few sports you can hand your judges a bottle of bourbon and help buy your way towards the top.
Actually, bribes are part of Splendid Teapot Racing. Every racer is expected to provide.
So it depends on you got to know your judges. You got to know your judges and what their stick is. So I suspect that some of those teapots have had more pot than tea. I'm just saying.
Hey, that's my healthiest dinosaur, the T-Rex. I love it.
You really?
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and I like that part of that part of the rules. And Stephen, tell us a little bit more about some of the other nuances of the rules in Splendid Teapot Racing.
Okay, there are limits on the size of the racer. You can exceed the rules, you can exceed the sizes, but you risk vexing the judges. Actually, the smaller the better in order to be able to complete the course. The course, you know, consists of first you have a slalom that's set up with candlesticks and teapots. Not teapots. I'm sorry. China cups set on top of the candlesticks. So you have to go through a slalom, and if you hit one of the candlesticks, you can actually, you know, break some crockery, and and that counts against your score.
Uh-huh.
Then you go from that into an obstacle called the Ramp of Doom, and this
Ooh,
really separates
nice.
the men from the boys.
Yes.
It is a curved mm-hmm. a curved ramp about a 15 degree slope, so it's fairly steep, and
mm-hmm.
it's curved, and you have to enter on one side and navigate to the other side, and a lot of vehicles, if their center of gravity is too high, they'll turn over at this point and will have to be manually
yep.
assisted, which also takes away from your score, but it
That's so cool.
adds to the spectacle.
Yes.
And then
That's
when
awesome.
you exit the Ramp of Doom and then cross what's called the Chasm of Death. Yeah, it's about a one inch space between two ramps,
mm-hmm.
but it's
nice.
Still the Chasm of Death. And then you complete that, and then you usually end up. Sometimes we make the start and finish separate. Sometimes the start and finish are at the same point. But then the time is recorded, and the judges decide the points added and the points taken away, based on the how vexed they become during the run, and the style points for the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Style points. I was going to ask that.
Yeah, it's
nice.
A lot of fun. You know, it's not like NASCAR. it's not like NASCAR. We say in the South when it comes to racing, if you ain't cheating, you ain't eating.
Yeah,
that's not the way it is with the Splendid Teapot Racing at all. It's all about fun.
All right, I'm gonna break in because I stopped. I'm stopping the show in 90 minutes so that I can restart my phone because it's going to. And then I would like to invite everyone to please dial in exactly 2 minutes. So everybody, stay tuned for part two. You just have to go to Steampunk 2. On the website. So if everybody would reconvene, call back in exactly 2 minutes, and thank you. We'll go for part two. Thanks, everybody.
Okay.
Deal.
All right.
Thank you. Thanks.